The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 243 of the podcast. Or you're joining us live on Facebook or YouTube. Today is Monday, May 31st, Memorial Day. So, of course, we have to start off by acknowledging and remembering the brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Those in the military who gave their lives for the freedoms that we get to enjoy every single day here in these great United States of America. And on that note, it's never a bad time to thank the current men and women serving in the military, every branch of the military, and as well as our veterans, because every one of them signed their name on the dotted line, knowing that there was a chance that they might be memorialized on this Memorial Day. So of course, you know, enjoy your freedoms today, the beers, the barbecues, the furniture sales, whatever else. But remember, that's not what it's all about. It's all about remembering those who gave their lives so that we have the freedoms to do these things every single day. So thank you. Thank you to people who did make that sacrifice, to the family members of people who made that sacrifice, and to those who are willing to make it going forward. This Memorial Day is all about you. Exciting news. I didn't particularly feel like doing an episode this week. You know, long weekend. I went away with the family. I'll get into that a little bit later. Came back today, exhausted. Had to do some yard work anyway. And put some things up in the backyard. You know, not that that's anything to complain about, but, you know, I was just feeling a little tired. Maybe I wouldn't do an episode. There was no fights this weekend. But when I texted Jeff the Animal Wilson and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "I'm game. Let's put the wheels on the ground, kid." So it's been a few weeks since we had the animal. I think the last time we did a show, he didn't even have hair. Now he's got a full mop going. He looks like he's the fifth Beatle, all the way from New Jersey. Please welcome back Jeff, the Animal Wilson. Jeff, how you feeling on this Monday evening, my friend?
Bill, first off, I'm so excited to be back, Bill. I feel like I haven't been myself lately. Without the show, it's weird. It's like I've been really antsy. I get crabby really quickly because I haven't had the outlet to hang out with you and talk about MMA and how much, you know, modern society gets on my nerves. but Bill, speaking of modern society, a big thank you to all the veterans, past and present, to all the future veterans who have risked everything to make our lives better and to make this country as great as it is. And, you know, it's not perfect. You know, we have our issues, but there are issues everywhere, Bill. But anyway, Bill, I got to be a part of something special this past weekend for Memorial Day. My school where I'm at, every year, the Saturday leading up to Memorial Day, they do a special tribute in the park because in the town where I work, there is a memorial to veterans from the Korean War, World War I, World War II, it's so many things, and it's awesome because What they do is we get there early and we put these crosses in the ground and flags for all the fallen soldiers. And part of the memorial they have, it's a little bit off from where the memorial is, but they have a list of names, Bill. And it just gave me a time to reflect and just think about how, you know, if I lived in the country where my parents grew up, you know, maybe I wouldn't be a teacher. Because the country my parents grew up, there's a lot of gang violence. So I don't know if I'd even be alive. Maybe I'd be in a gang, you know, causing mischief. I don't know. But Bill, you know, I'm grateful to all of those veterans who have given up so much. And as soon as my principal asked me if I wanted to do it, I said, yeah, I'm on board. And I want to do it next year, and I want to do it the year after that. The only complaint I have, Bill, is that I got drenched because this was the first year, as luck would have it, the year that I'm running it is the first year that it rains when they go to when they go to do this. So I got drenched, dude. I actually just did some laundry today, and the clothes that I was wearing Saturday were still drenched. I'm pretty sure I caught pneumonia. But I'm feeling better today.
Oh, jeez.
But you know what, Bill? It was worth it. I think it was absolutely worth it. I think that the fallen have gone through a lot worse than a little rain for us. So, you know, yeah. I really appreciated the chance to lead that. And, you know, I'm grateful to all the students who came out. It was a small number. You know, I'm sure the rain put off a lot of people, which I don't blame them at all for. But huge thank you to both my bosses and the students who were able to come out. It was a good time. And there were hot dogs at the end, so it was definitely worth it.
Pouring while you're mourning. Yeah, it's awesome that any kids that age would participate in something like that. You know, that's a really positive thing because, you know, we so often hear about what shitheads the generation coming up is. You know, it's nice to give them a little credit for doing something like that, like acknowledging, you know, the men and women of our military who made that sacrifice and showing up on their own time to do so, in the rain, no less. So it's good to give the upcoming generation a little bit of credit because there's some good eggs out there. You know, our parents shit on our generation too, and we did some pretty good stuff too. So, you know, we got to acknowledge these things.
Yeah. So Bill, speaking of the freedoms that we get to celebrate, before we get into the MMA talk, I got to talk soccer, Bill. You know, before my hiatus, you know that I was really excited because my favorite soccer team was doing well in the European Championship. And, Bill, the reason I couldn't get upset on Saturday, despite being drenched, is because the championship final was on Saturday. And it was at 3 o'clock, which was fine because it gave me ample time to come home, shower, you know, get some food in me. And, Bill, my team did it. Chelsea FC from London, they won the European Championship. Second time we've won it. Our third time making it to the final. Bill, I've been waiting 9 years for this to happen again. The last time it happened, it was in 2012. Bill, I didn't know you. I was still in college. I had no idea what jiu-jitsu was. I mean, it just makes you grateful, man. But yeah, I'm really excited. We got a good young team. So I think this is going to lead to a lot of future success.
Awesome, man. Congratulations on the World Cup.
Bill, that's not for another show. I'm sorry. No, it might be next year.
All right. Well, I hope they win it.
Yeah. But anyway, Bill, really excited. Really excited. I'm not going to stop talking about it for a while, at least at work, because we got some soccer heads at work. So they're going to be hearing about this at least for the next until the next final. I mean, we're not losing the championship until somebody else wins it or somebody knocks us out of the tournament.
Yeah. Which
that could also happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the fun of team sports, right? Like I don't really follow any team sports anymore, but when I did, like part of the fun of it is to be able to shit on the people who like the opposing teams when they lose. So, you know, enjoy that. I know that I remember that feeling pretty well, you know, like when the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah, yeah. I not fun days for me, Bill. But it was still early in my football fandom. But yeah, dude. And shout out to Paul and Mark Fellows who are following us. Thank you for welcoming me back. But yeah, Bill, like I said, man, I missed being on the show. I missed talking to you about whatever's going on, man. It felt like something wasn't right. Like my life has been out of balance.
Yeah, well, we gotta get back in gear here. I mean, the folks understand you're out saving the world on Sundays, and I've got quite a busy schedule. So, getting the stars to align for both of us to get behind the microphone on a Sunday is no easy task. But here we are on a Monday, holiday weekend. We were able to make it happen. I just got back. Like I said, we went a little bit further south for the weekend. My wife kept calling the place Matlaca. I believe it's Matlacha.
Bill, I lost you. But anyway, while we're waiting for Bill to come back, a lot of good fight action that we've had the last couple of weeks. And I know Bill went into some depth with Font versus Garbrandt. But I just wanted to give Rob Font some props here, because Cody Garbrandt is no easy task for anybody. And, that's a huge feather in his cap. Unfortunately, I felt like Garbrandt just didn't show up. I think that he's just fading a little bit. But Bill, sorry, you cut out there for a little bit. So I went into some follow-up thoughts on Font versus Garbrandt from last week. But Bill, you were saying you were in a more southern part of Florida?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah, so Matlacha. By the way, sorry to everybody for my internet cutting out. But how would you pronounce that, Jeff?
Hold on. Could you spell it out again?
Matlacha.
C-H-A. Matlaca or Matlacha?
Yeah, that's what my wife kept saying, and she was we rented some kayaks from a local person, and she corrected her, and the pronunciation is French, but the word is Native American. It's a weird thing. So it's actually Matlaché. Not spelled anything like that. Nope. And I could read this all day and never come up with that pronunciation. I've got a master's degree in English. And I know you've got a background in English as an English teacher as well, Jeff. I don't think the two of us together would get Matlaché out of that.
Matlaché. Wasn't he like one of the singers in NSYNC or something?
So I said the same thing. I was like, oh, he's one of the Backstreet Boys. And my wife and her cousin quickly corrected me and let me know that it was Nick Lachey from 98 Degrees. Or as I like to call them, 34 degrees Celsius.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So Matlaché. So we got an Airbnb with my wife's cousin and her family, her husband and their two boys who are 10 and 12, I think, 9 and 11. Young boys, middle school. And we had a really great time. We got an Airbnb like right on an intercoastal channel. So you go out to the back deck and you're right on the water. We could like throw some kayaks right in there. We were fishing off the back deck. I had a good time with I call them my nephews, because we figured out that my wife's first cousin's kids are her nephews. So it is what I'm really bad at that stuff. I mean, maybe it's not correct, but I call them my nephews. They call me Uncle Bill, and we all have the same understanding about it. But we had a good time. You know, we did some fishing. They had a cool little like art district where they had this really cool artist. I actually bought some prints from. She does like a lot of cool, like very colorful things. And at the art studio, they had a backyard with like a big stage where she painted a portrait of the Beatles. And like, she had like this little bus back there that she painted the Beatles all over. And she did some paintings of like their song lyrics and stuff. And then a lot of animal prints and stuff. So, my daughter picked out a painting of a flamingo that she liked, And it was interesting because at 3 years old, you're starting to see her personality develop a lot. So she was looking at the paintings inside and she picked this flamingo. She's like, I want this. I want to put this up in my room. I'm like, all right, well, let's go outside. And, you know, they had more paintings outside and she looked at some more out there and she saw the same flamingo painting. And she's like, I want this one. So, you know, art is something that's supposed to speak to you. And even at 3 years old, I guess this flamingo picture, it spoke to her. So it was really cool to see her kind of have her first like moment with a piece of art. And it was cool because my wife and I both picked out pictures that we liked as well. So it was a cool trip. It was exhausting because we did a lot of kayaking and, you know, a lot of boozing and a lot of walking, hiking kind of stuff. So it was tiring. We came back early this morning and then I was working out in the yard, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity to get on here with you after a few weeks hiatus, even though there's not much MMA to talk about. So you're talking about the Font and Garbrandt fight. Was there anything else over the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, however long it's been, that really caught your attention that you didn't have the chance to talk about on here?
Oh, dude, how could I not mention Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler? I mean, Bill, I found this buddy at work who he's very similar to me. He has, you know, a strong faith, but he also watches UFC. So we have the same off period. So for like 20 minutes, you know, we're in the teacher's lounge and we were talking about what a performance Oliveira put on, man, because Chandler looked like, first he looked like he was going to get choked out for a sec. No, I'm sorry. Let me restart. First, it looked like Chandler was going to guillotine Oliveira, you know, and the first thing I thought was, like, I had the red flags going off, immediately thought of what happened against Pettis, and in my head I was like, no, not like this. But, dude, then, you know, able to scramble out of it, and then Oliveira looked like he had a rear naked on Michael Chandler for a bit, you know, giving him some trouble, but riding him like a backpack. Excuse me. And then at the end of, and this is all in the first round. And at the end of the first round, Chandler looked like he was going to knock out Oliveira. And then Oliveira able to come back in the second round and just put Chandler out with that beautiful left hook. And Bill, he does it the way that like an instructor shows you how to do it. You know, his striking has just come miles and miles. And Bill, I'm a big fan of Oliveira. I love Michael Chandler as well. And it was bittersweet for me, man. You know, I wanted both guys to win. But, you know, this isn't society. This is the UFC where things don't work out that way.
It's not kids sports where everybody gets a participation trophy and they don't keep score.
Dude, but, you know, huge credit to Oliveira, man. He's a journeyman. He's been here 10 years. I've been following his career the entire time. And there was like a 3-year stretch, Bill, where I was really worried. And I felt like Oliveira had kind of fallen off a little bit. You know, he'd racked up some losses to Pettis. And I can't remember too many people he lost to, but I just remember not feeling that his performances were enough to maybe keep him in the UFC for a little bit. And then he comes out, beats the bricks off of Tony Ferguson, and then finishes Michael Chandler. You know, when I didn't give him a chance to do that. I thought it was all Michael Chandler. And I know Chandler's going to be a UFC champion someday, but man, you got to give it to Charles Oliveira, man. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, time running out on for Chandler, but without a doubt, I think even with just the win over Dan Hooker, I would say one of the more successful fighters to come over from Bellator with a lot of hype behind him. Because if you look at the list of guys who have come from Bellator and ladies who have come from Bellator as well with a lot of hype and, you know, a lot of wins and even championships and stuff, a lot of them fell flat, you know, a few wins here and there, but not like huge wins, like Chandler's win over Dan Hooker, you know, making his debut and flatlining a top five guy. And Oliveira is a guy that has just grown so much. You know, he always had top shelf Brazilian jiu-jitsu. most submissions in UFC history, of course. His striking was questionable in the beginning, and then it got to be like, well, you know, he's dangerous because he throws wild because he's not afraid to be taken down. And then it became like, holy shit, this guy has really sharp technique. You know, so it's awesome that he continued to develop like that instead of just kind of resting on like, oh, well, I could submit anybody, so why do I need to work on anything else? And then the thing that's most impressive is his heart and his determination, because these are things that you can't really teach. You can't really develop, because he did have a little bit of a history of kind of wilting in fights and kind of, I don't want to say quitting, but, you know, here's a guy in some of the best jiu-jitsu in the world, and he's getting submitted. Like, that shouldn't be happening, you know, unless you're kind of like, you know, the cardio is not there or whatever else. But yeah, I mean, the guy has just grown leaps and bounds since his time in the UFC. And it's awesome to see a guy like that win the championship. You know, especially a guy like him who still does so much for his hometown. You know, he grew up in the favelas in Brazil, which would be the equivalent of like projects here in the States, but, you know, much worse living conditions. And he still does a lot to contribute to those communities. He brings them food and supplies and, you know, school supplies for the kids in school there. Just like a really good dude. And, you know, you can't help but feel great for a guy like that when he has success.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah. So you got to love Charles Oliveira. I don't see a reason not to like him. But yeah, I think that the only problem the UFC is going to run into is that Oliveira doesn't really put butts in seats, Bill, unfortunately. And it's not a knock on him. It's just, you know, he's a nice guy. And unfortunately in the UFC, you know, you gotta be able to talk smack. So, we'll see though. Oliveira, he's had this intensity in his last couple of fights that I've really been liking. I call it Oliveira Unchained, which
I yeah. I mean, he doesn't put butts in seats, but wait until he's fighting, you know, Poirier or Conor McGregor, you know, then people will be, all in.
Yeah, for sure. So, Bill, someone's saying hi to us from Colombia. Hello, Colombia.
Hola.
Bill, but how can we talk about this UFC card, UFC 262, without mentioning Edson Barboza versus Shane Burgos? And I know you went into detail about this, but, man, what an exciting fight, dude. You know, there were times where Shane Burgos was working his way back a little bit in that second round, but Oliveira is just too much for anybody in this featherweight division, man. I'm sorry, Barboza is too much for anybody in this featherweight division, man. Really, really exciting fight. Huge way to open the card. I would have been okay if that had been like maybe the third fight in.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it really set a great pace for the rest of the night, man. What a fight that was.
Yeah. And what were your thoughts on the knockout? You know, it was so scary, the kind of, like, delayed reaction from Burgos where he, you know, seemed like he was fine, and then all of a sudden he fell back into the cage.
Yeah, that was kind of scary, too, because it was a really hard shot, and you could kind of tell, even though you weren't there. And I was like, holy crap, like, Shane Burgos is just a tank, man. Like, how did that not put him down? And then it put him down like a little bit later. A little scary, man. Like, because it makes you wonder, what kind of damage does that do to your brain? Like, if you were hit that hard and then the reaction's delayed, like I guess his pain receptors got turned off for a sec. Like, that's kind of scary, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen similar things like Justin Gaethje. I think, I can't remember if it was against Dustin Poirier or against Eddie Alvarez, where he was basically out on his feet and still fighting. Like, he was unconscious and still throwing punches. And that was scary to see as well. But, you know, the body just gets so used to it that even when you cut the brain off, the body still kind of goes, you know, like when you cut the head off a chicken and it still will run around for, I think, 8 to 10 seconds. So maybe it's something like that. You know, your body just kind of remembers what it should be doing. And then it's like, oh, shit, there's nobody flying the plane. and then it, you know, that becomes the result. But yeah, awesome performance by Barbosa. I was really hoping, and I think I was one of the only people asking for this, I really wanted to get 5 rounds of Edson Barbosa and Max Holloway. Like, that would, how awesome would that be? I don't know why more people weren't asking for this, but I kind of threw it out there into the Twitterverse, and you know, it got some likes and stuff, but I didn't feel like people were like, yes, I need this in my life. Like, I don't very often ask for a lot of fights to be put together, but I just feel like that would be such an entertaining match. And you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get it, but fortunately, we are going to get Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez, which was recently announced. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Bill, I'll be honest with you. I would rather see Holloway fight Edson Barbosa. I mean, Yair Rodriguez, we've seen him flake on us, for lack of a better term. And I don't know, man. He is somebody who, after that, you know, seeing him kind of duck people, I don't really appreciate that, because mm-hmm. I think that if you're at this level and you want to prove a point, you'll fight whoever they put in front of you. It's why we enjoy guys like Cowboy and Michael Chandler. So I don't think it's a bad fight necessarily. I would just prefer Barbosa versus Holloway, man. That would be a really fun striking clinic, man. I would imagine up and coming fighters just watching that just to learn from it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with Yair, it was like a series of unfortunate events. Like, it was, they were trying to put him and Zabit together, and everybody was like, yes, this is perfect, two up and coming prospects. And then Yair was like, no, I'm not gonna fight that guy. And then they cut him. And then he's like, no, it was my translator that runs my social media, and I fired that guy. And they're like, all right. But then, like, he came back, and then at some point he had that knockout over Korean Zombie with 1 second left, that crazy elbow. And then he fought Jeremy Stevens and, like, poked him in the eye right away. Mm. And we lost that fight, which was supposed to be good, and it just sucked even more wind out of his sails. And then he beat Jeremy Stevens, but I don't even remember how it happened. It was like the excitement was so far gone with this guy at that point because of, you know, A, B, C, D all the way through X, Y, Z that happened. And then, like, with Zabit, there was so much excitement around him. Like, oh, him and Yair would be awesome. But then we saw him against Calvin Kattar, where he just, like, stopped fighting in the third round and was just running away. And then everybody was like, wait, fuck this guy too. So it was like, we went from having this awesome fight from two really exciting prospects to being like, no, fuck both of these guys.
Yeah.
But now here we are, and it seems to be everybody's excited that Max Holloway is going to beat him up. It should be a decent fight, you know, as long as Yair shows up and doesn't foul Max Holloway within the first 30 seconds. But yeah, thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. You know, I think it's still going to be an exciting fight. So hopefully, you know, Yair Rodriguez can use this to kind of win some of us back here. But yeah, Bill, you know, any time that Max Holloway fights, I'm always getting off the couch for that one. So,
mm-hmm. Especially coming off of that performance over Calvin Kattar, which, you know, a lot of people would agree was one of the greatest striking performances in the history of the UFC.
Oh, yeah. He just pieced him up, man. Now that you mention it, yeah, I remember just Calvin Kattar just not understanding what to do in that situation, man. But that's what Holloway does to people, and that's why I want to see him fight Edson Barbosa.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the fight to me. You know, maybe in the meantime we do Barbosa Kattar. Maybe they didn't feel like he earned that opportunity yet, but like, if it makes sense, like, just do it, because it doesn't make sense to put Holloway in there with Volkanovski, and he's gonna do the Ultimate Fighter, which starts tomorrow, I believe, with Brian Ortega. So then that's, you know, 12 weeks or whatever it is, and then they'll fight at the end of that. And the only way it makes sense for Holloway to fight for the title again is if Ortega wins. you know, that rematch might be fun because, you know, Ortega got trounced in that first fight, you know, to the point where Holloway was like, hey, put your hands up. It was like trying to help him out because he was beating his ass so bad. But, you know, then we saw Ortega kind of rejuvenated in the Korean Zombie fight and like, oh, shit, this guy in the 2 years he was off, they learned how to strike a lot better. So, you know, that could be a fun fight. Let's see.
Yeah, for sure. Bill, I just want to address one comment from Antonio Sosa, who was saying that he actually shared, he's sharing this video with a bunch of groups that he has. So, Antonio, thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for that translation. I put the comment up there hoping that you would translate it. So, well done, Jeff. Well, we still have our unspoken bond where we can communicate telepathically.
Yeah. Bill, sorry to cut you off. But Bill, while there was no fights this past weekend, I think we have an awesome card coming up, man. The heavyweights take center stage, which, Bill, as a bigger dude, you know that I would get excited for these fights, man.
Yeah. The main event, when I first looked at it, I was like, okay. But then I really started thinking about it. Like, these are two guys that are both bangers in Jairzinho Rozenstruik and Augusto Sakai. You know, they both have knockout power. Both of them are really hard to finish. Like, Rozenstruik's only been finished by Ngannou, I believe, when he got mauled by him in 40 seconds or whatever it was. And, you know, Sakai's got the knockout power too. Very different styles. But yeah, what do you think about this main event in terms of a stylistic matchup?
Bill, I'm excited for this one, man. You know, Rozenstruik's in your face, you know, all, for five rounds. I think we saw a couple of setbacks against Overeem, you know, who kind of just outpaced him and was able to use his technique really well. But Bill, I remember texting you because we talked about it on the show in like at the end of the fourth round in that fight saying, because you, I forgot what you said to me, but I was like, oh, you said to me that you were falling asleep because of how late the fight was on. And I was like, don't worry, man. Overeem is going to be sleeping in this fifth round. And sure as the sky is blue, Rozenstruik ripped Overeem's face open. Or was that Ngannou who did that?
No, that was Rozenstruik. It was, yeah, there was like 15 seconds left in the fight. So, yeah, I mean, both these guys coming off of losses as well. Rozenstruik coming off of that decision loss against Ciryl Gane, where Ciryl Gane just, you know, played the point fighting game. And Sakai coming off a loss to Overeem. So I think this will be a really fun fight. You know, Sakai has most of his wins coming by way of knockout, and he's a Brazilian with zero submission wins. So it's unusual to see a Brazilian with that's so heavy on the striking and doesn't really go for the grappling that much, but it'll make for a fun fight with Rozenstruik. And then we have in the co-main event, two more heavyweights, Marcin Tybura and Walt Harris. Harris, I believe, also coming off of a loss to Overeem. And Tybura just like a really these are two like really respectful, really durable, really well-rounded heavyweights that like are not going to be talking shit and they're not going to be building this fight at all, but they're going to go out there and put on a great performance because both of these guys are real fighters.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Walt Harris is a tough, tough dude, man. And Marcin Tybura, very skilled. I think he's a great striker on the feet, but I think he's going to have a hard time, trying to finish Walt Harris here. I think he's going to have to play the grind game. And as for Walt Harris, man, I love him. I'm a big fan of his, but I think he's going to have a hard time trying to get inside Tabura's guard. I think Tabura is going to have a reach advantage in this one. So we'll see, man. I want to see what Walt Harris has learned. You know, there was some very heavy stuff going on in his personal life when he fought against Overeem, but I'm hoping that he can channel that into a new game plan for Marcin Tybura, man. Wishing Harris the best. I try not to be biased, Bill, but you know me, man. I'm biased. Well, towards the fighters I like anyway.
For sure. And then we got Roman Dolidze, who is another one of these Georgian fighters, which, you know, they've been coming on strong in the UFC. You know, these fighters from Georgia are very skilled. Like, a lot of them, you know, they're either very heavy with the grappling, like a Merab Dvalishvili, or they're very heavy in the striking, like a Giga Chikadze. Dolidze kind of falls into the latter category. He likes to strike. Coming off of his first loss in his career, and he's getting in there against Laureano Starpoli. So this should be a fun one. Starpoli coming off of two losses as well. So, you know, there's a lot of fighters like with their backs against the wall, so to speak, on this card, which usually makes for exciting matchups.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Staropoli's a really good fighter as well. Very good striker. So, Bill, I don't see this one going to the ground, but this one's going to be really fun. Bill, I'm going to actually pick this as my dark horse fight for this card. Your sleeper fight. This is my choice for sleeper fight of the night, man.
For sure. Dark horse works as well. I'm going to jump down the card a little bit because I need to correct myself from last week's show, because I was talking about Santiago Ponzinibbio and the fact that he hadn't fought in like 2 years, and I was really excited to see him back in there. I was luckily corrected by someone on Twitter, and I'm going to have to look up their name because I want to give them credit. I totally forgot that Santiago Ponzinibbio fought Li Jingliang.
Yeah, but I believe he lost that fight, right?
Yeah, he got knocked out by him. And for some reason, it was just completely erased by my memory. So I want to thank you, sir, for correcting me on Twitter. I am very receptive to criticism and being corrected, and I will openly tell you when I'm wrong. And, you know, it's probably more often than you guys even call me out on it. But I'm happy to admit, you know, when I say something that's incorrect and offer the correction there. So I was talking about, oh, it's been so long since Ponzinibbio has fought. And for whatever reason, I couldn't remember him fighting Li Jingliang. You know, maybe I erased it because I wasn't happy with that result, seeing him getting, you know, knocked out after some time on the bench. But this is going to be a really fun fight, Jeff. Ponzinibbio getting in there against the undefeated Miguel Baeza, who is a super talented young lion. You know, this could be bad news for Ponzinibbio, because, you know, two losses in a row, and here's a guy they were talking about, you know, possibly fighting for the title at some point soon. He was on a hell of a run, and then he took some time off, gets knocked out by Li Jingliang, and even people who talk about this sport every week, like myself, forgot about it. And now he's getting in there with, you know, this undefeated kid. It's not looking good. You know, this is like very high risk, very low reward for him, because even if he beats Baeza, it's like, yeah, well, who the hell is that guy? He only has 10 fights. But I'll tell you who that guy is. That guy's a bad motherfucker who's coming in there to take Ponzinibbio's head off. And that's why this fight is my sleeper pick. I believe I chose it last week. But, you know, I want to give it with the caveat that I was wrong about my breakdown of it. But give me your thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah, Bill. Baeza is a tough dude, man. Very well-rounded. And, you know, he's in there to prove a point, man. And unfortunately, he's going to be wanting to make a name off of Santiago Ponzinibbio here, who, you know, like you said, at one point we were talking about him in the upper echelon of the welterweight title picture here. Mm-hmm. But Bill, I think that there is some reward for Ponzinibbio as well. You know, if he can go out there and maybe finish this guy, which I don't think will happen, but I'm saying, you know, if he could, and just letting the welterweight division know and letting some of these young lions know that Ponzinibbio is not going to be the guy you're making your name off of, I think that could be a big statement as well. Maybe put him back into a couple of more interesting scenarios here in the welterweight division.
Yeah, for sure. And just a little more background on Baeza, 10-0. Four of those wins came in the UFC, and I'm counting his win on the Contender Series. Yeah, two knockouts and a submission so far on the big stage. And one of those, a TKO victory over Matt Brown. And then in his last fight, arm triangle submission over Takashi Sato. So this kid is coming, but, you know, Ponzinibbio is definitely a big step up in competition. You know, not that those guys aren't tough, but, you know, they're sitting outside the top 10, whereas Ponzinibbio was close to a title shot not too long ago. So, yeah, it'll be a big test for the Caramel Thunder and Miguel Baeza, who actually trains fairly locally here down in Florida. Another one I want to acknowledge that has changed since I talked about the fights last week, Makwan Amirakani is going to take on Kamuela Kirk. So Kirk stepping up on short notice. I believe it's got to be less than 2 weeks, because when I was talking about this fight card last week, this fight was not made yet. It was not made until, I believe, midway through last week. So Kamuela Kirk actually going to make his UFC debut. He did appear on Dana White's Contender Series. He lost to our buddy Billy Quarantillo on the Contender Series, and that's how Billy got his springboard back into the UFC. But Kirk is a tough dude, man. For those who don't remember that fight, he gave Billy hell in the first round. He didn't count on the fact that you can't wear Billy Quarantillo out. That's just not a thing that happens inside that cage. He's a guy that no matter how much you beat up on him, he's going to keep increasing the pace round after round. And that's what he did against Kamuela Kirk. But make no mistake, Kirk could come in here with a big upset, because even after that loss to Billy, he took a loss in the LFA, but then came back with back-to-back knockouts. And, you know, the UFC remembered his name and they gave him a call to put him in there with Amirakani, who's definitely one of the top featherweights right now. He's got to be, you know, somewhere in that top 15, I would think. Super well-rounded, really slick submissions, but you got to watch out for Kirk, especially early on in the fight, Jeff, because he's got a lot of knockout power for a featherweight, and he's a really tough dude. I feel like the fight will favor Amirakani the longer it goes. And then, you know, Amirakani is real tricky as well. You know, he's got some great striking, super slick submissions. He likes that Darce choke. So this is going to be a really fun fight. And, you know, Kamuela Kirk getting a big opportunity here, because, you know, he lost on the Contender Series, and this is like a right place, right time. He was available to fill in. He answered the phone. And we talk about this all the time, Jeff. The best way to get into the UFC is to be ready. You get an opportunity on a Contender Series, you lose, they still got your phone number. You know, you stay in shape, stay ready to go at a moment's notice, and, you know, you could be right back in the mix with an opportunity against a top fighter in Amirakani. So this is a fight I'm really excited. I'm really excited for, actually.
Yeah, for sure, dude. And Amirakani, I don't know too much about Kirk, but he sounds like a tough customer. And Amirakani, man, like you said, likes that Darce choke, and he's lanky for this featherweight division. He's kind of tall as well, so he is, he's got the body to set up that Darce choke really well. Bill, I'm looking at this card, and Bill, I think I'm starting to get really excited for the prelims as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Amirakani versus Kirk is going to fall on this card. I imagine it'll be on the prelims, but Bill, excuse me, we have Montana De La Rosa versus Ariane Lipsky as the feature bout in the preliminaries, which I'm really excited about. I think that's an awesome fight. Two very tough competitors here. De La Rosa, of course, coming from, I believe, the Ultimate Fighter, the season that Nico Montano thought she won the flyweight title. So really exciting, Bill. De La Rosa, she's a diamond in the rough, man. She's pretty well rounded, and I think that this is going to be a really big step up in competition for her, man.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great breakdown. I just wanted to give a shout out to Keith from Twitter at MMAFan2019 because he's the gentleman who corrected me last week, and I definitely appreciate it. I like being called out on things because I don't prefer to give wrong information. It's just something that happens because I don't do any show prep and I drink a lot of alcohol. So but yet because I'm talking on the internet, people just kind of assume I know what I'm talking about, and don't do that. That's why, like, don't part with your money based on anything I say. That's why I try not to give predictions, and don't take everything I say as truth. Just take it as entertainment. Like, take a few cheap laughs, like the low-hanging fruit that I go for each week. And you know, don't use me. I'm not like a journalist. I'm not like Dan Tom from MMA Junkie, where this guy is actually diligent and researches and like gives you picks like based on, you know, fight history and analytics and data and all kinds of shit. Like, he's a professional. He does this for a living. I do this like in my spare time, you know, when I'm half in the bag. So Jeff, let's get back into this card because there's some other fights that are really exciting to me here. Another heavyweight bout, Aleer Latifi and Tanner Boser. Again, two more guys who kind of have their backs against the wall here. You know, Latifi was kind of like, you know, for a while he had a lot of steam, he had a lot of momentum, and then, you know, he kind of ran into those upper guys who could deal with the wrestling a little bit, and then he moved up to heavyweight and it was kind of like, all right, what are we doing here? And now it's gonna really be like, well, are you gonna compete at this or not? Or are you just gonna be here? Or are you just gonna exist? And the UFC has kind of shown lately they're not really interested in that type of fighter anymore. They have such a deep roster now. It's like, all right, you've got to be a contender or you're going to have to find somewhere else to go. So it'll be interesting to see a guy like Latifi, who, you know, has such incredible wrestling credentials and has such powerful strikes, but is a little bit undersized for a heavyweight. He's like kind of like a Daniel Cormier. But, you know, it worked for Cormier, so why can't it work for Latifi? And, you know, Boser, the younger guy here and fresher in the UFC, but actually the more experienced fighter. So this is a fun one for me, Jeff. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, Bill. And I actually did not see this fight on the card before I made my pick for sleeper fight. Bill, I might have to change my pick here, man. Boser versus Latifi looks like an awesome fight. Bill, you got to be a little concerned for Latifi here. You know, he's kind of in a tight spot, like you said, but Bill, I also like what the UFC is doing, making fighters compete for, you know, staying in the UFC. It's like when a soccer coach brings in, like three or four new players in the off season, because now you got to start playing harder if you want to get that starting spot, because now you're not guaranteed it anymore. So yeah, Bill, I like that there's a little competition in here. I don't know how Latifi is going to do, man. You know, I think that he's a very great fighter, but man, excuse me, some of these guys who can deal with the wrestling, they might have some answers for him. So, really, really interesting fight, man. Bill, I think I got to change my answer here. I think this is going to be my sleeper fight. I think I'm going to go with Boser versus Latifi.
All right. Well, that's not a bad pick. You know, it's a fight that not a lot of people are talking about. Another one that I like, and it's, you know, two more guys coming off of losses, but two really talented fighters, Alon Patrick and Mason Jones. So Mason Jones, young man from Wales, lost his first fight in his UFC debut. And Alon Patrick coming off of back-to-back losses to Bobby Green and Scott Holtzman. You know, those are two really top guys. But, you know, Patrick has looked good in the UFC. He's got some good wins over guys like Stephen Ray. So that's a fun fight. And then what else do we have here? We got Francisco Trinaldo still, you know, still chugging along in the UFC, 67 years old.
Dude, I was just going to say when I saw that fight, there's a name I haven't heard in like a decade. Oh, man.
He's fighting Muslim Salikov. Yeah, Trinaldo, I believe, turns 67 next month. but three fight win streak, Jeff, including you know, a TKO in his last win.
What was that, 2014?
It was July of 2020, so almost a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that was that was actually right before he started collecting Social Security.
oh man. That was awesome.
No, Trinaldo, 42 years old, Jeff. In the lightweight division, that's like, if he were a heavyweight, that's like the equivalent of being 67.
Yeah.
And if he were a heavyweight in Bellator, it'd be the equivalent of being like 89 and a half.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Marina Moroz and Manon Fiorot. I'm not too familiar with Manon, but then we got Yusef Zalal and Sean Woodson. So Sean Woodson had a lot of steam coming into the UFC off the Contender Series. He's like long and lanky, and he's got an unusual striking style. Lost his UFC debut, I believe, and that was a while ago as well. You know, one of these guys probably, you know, suffered due to the pandemic and everything like that. And then the opening fight, Claudio Puelles against Jordan Leavitt. We may remember Jordan Leavitt for his devastating knockout slam in his last win. And he was also a standout on the Contender Series as well. His last win, you know, he KO'd Matt Wyman in 22 seconds with that nasty slam, just spiked him on his head. And then put on a great performance on the Contender Series as well against Jose Flores, with submitted him. He's an exciting guy to watch. Very eccentric, very boisterous young man. What are your thoughts on those three fights?
Yeah, man, I think that they're all very exciting. I'm really looking forward to the Marina Moroz versus Manon Fiorio fight. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But yeah, dude, Bill, this whole card, looks really interesting. I think that the main event, I would like to see a different fight as the main event. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Rozenstrike Sakai is a good choice just because they're both coming off of losses, but I think the rest of the card makes up for it. I think this is one to not miss on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then as we went over the rest of the card, like, a lot of these fighters are coming off of losses. It's like the running theme here. So, you know, you got a lot of fighters with, you know, potentially their jobs on the line here, which usually makes for exciting cards. And then, you know, it's always the cards that a lot of people aren't talking about that end up being really exciting. And I have kind of that feeling about this card as well.
Yeah, so Bill, this is going to be a good fight a good card as well, because the prelims start at 4 and then the main card starts at 7. So Bill, this will be nice. We can get some sleep, get an early mm-hmm. night in. It's awesome, Bill.
Yeah, that will be nice. I'll actually be home next weekend as well, which means I'm sure I'll be neck deep in some projects around the house, just running myself into the ground. So I will appreciate being able to go to bed early. Maybe we can even get an episode in on Saturday night next week, depending how it goes. If it really does end early enough, I don't know. It's always good when we can get those done, get them out of the way, and then we have Sunday, you know, to do whatever it is that we do.
Yeah, I'm all for it, Bill.
Yeah, so not much else with MMA. For those curious, because people sometimes ask, and I forget to mention sometimes what I'm sipping on here, I'm drinking watermelon juice and tequila, Jeff. It's a hot day here in Florida. It cooled off a little bit towards the end of the day. It started sprinkling a little bit, but, you know, you got to stay hydrated with watermelon juice. Is a great way to stay hydrated, and then, you know, tequila makes it that much better. I've been drinking this tequila called Dolce Vita. They make some interesting flavored tequilas. One that I like is it's a pineapple jalapeno tequila. And I'm usually not a fan of like flavored alcohol. But this one is actually good. It's got some nice flavor to it, like just enough spice from the jalapenos. You could drink it on the rocks, or you could throw it like in a margarita, make like a pineapple margarita. It's really nice. But I happen to just be drinking the plain flavor. Since I like the pineapple one, I picked up a bottle of the plain flavor. It's on the cheaper end for tequila, but it's still 100% agave tequila. So it's like really good quality. You know, you can drink the silver on its own, or you can pour it in some watermelon juice like I did, because it was really hot outside and this has been really refreshing. Anything else you want to get off your chest here, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be a little bit more consistent. You know, being back on the show, you know, things are starting to slow down in the school year. We're in like the home stretch. Tomorrow's June, which I completely forgot about. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Oh, and Bill, I have jury duty. So jury duty is virtual this year. So if I don't get selected, I just got a whole day off. So it'll be nice.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, get out there and do your civic duty, Jeff. So that's good. Yeah, hopefully we'll get you back consistently on the show. We can figure this schedule thing out and, you know, get back into a rhythm here. And for the rest of you, if you want to pick up some MMA on the Rocks gear, t-shirt, hoodie, tank top, a lot of you probably don't need hoodies this time of year, but who knows? Maybe there's some of you listening in Norway. I don't know. If you need a hoodie, you can get one through our friends at Team Reaper. The website is reaper1.co. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. That's MMAROCKS10. Save yourself 10% off your order, not just on MMA on the Rocks merchandise, but on anything on their website. They've got training gear, MMA sparring gloves, jiu-jitsu gis, gear bags, hats, and of course, t-shirts from other fighters from the UFC all the way down to the regional circuit. So you can just find a cool design, support a local fighter, and put a few bucks in their pocket, help them out with their training, help them buy some good food, help them pay their coaches and everything that they need to do to be successful and make their way to the UFC and follow their dreams. So you can do that again through our friends at Team Reaper. Mark's been wearing his hoodie daily because it's the first day of winter in Australia. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, of course, we have friends on the other side of the globe where the weather's changing the opposite direction. And, you know, here in the States, Memorial Day, of course, not just a day to remember our fallen soldiers, but kind of the kickoff of the summer season. So, yeah, if you live on the other side of the globe, feel free to pick up a hoodie. I'll put the link, as always, in the show notes, wherever you happen to be watching or listening. Please do leave us a review on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, wherever you happen to be listening. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Please subscribe. Set your notifications so you can join in on the conversation when we go live. You know, we always love getting distracted with the comments and having a good laugh with you guys. And as always, I'm welcome to feedback and criticism and calling me out when I'm wrong with some information. Again, shout out to Keith on Twitter, who called me out last week on the Ponzinibbio thing. You know, I will admit to you guys fully when I give you wrong information or when I'm just plain wrong in my opinion. I'm pretty humble about these things. So don't be shy about sending me corrections and sending me criticism. I will take it to heart. I won't always listen if you have a criticism of something. You know, you can't please everybody, but I'll at least pay attention to it. So there's that. Anything else you got, Jeff?
That's all I got for you this week, Bill.
All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of Jeff the Animal Wilson and catch up with him since he's been gone for the past few weeks, you can do so at @animal_Wilson on Twitter and Instagram. Mark says we don't come here for facts. Mark, that's how we know that you're a true friend of the show, because you know what the score is around here. You know what you're in for. You're in for booze and banter. not any facts or breaking news. And if you guys want to get a hold of me, it's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media, but you knew that already. That's all we got, folks. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.